This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our TV show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. Those of us tired of watching Disney movies that focus on lily-white characters, real or animated, may be excited about the major studio's latest release. Queen of Katwe, starring Academy Award-winning Lupita Nyong'o and Oscar nominee David Oyelowo. It may be Disney's first time throwing its weight behind an all-black cast set in an African country, namely Uganda. Based on the true story of chess whiz Fiona Mutesi and her chess teacher Robert Katende, Queen of Katwe, in a predictably Disney form, offers a syrupy tale of how one person can defy the odds and lift themselves out of poverty through sheer talent and hard work. The film is directed by Indian filmmaker Meera Nair. My guest is Stephanie Abraham. She's a writer and media critic. She helped found the feminist magazine Makeshift and was the founding editor of the magazine Loudmouth. Her works have been published in McSweeney's, Al Jazeera, Mizna, and Bitch magazine. And she's the pop culture correspondent and film critic for Rising Up with Sonali. Welcome to the program, Stephanie.
Thank you, Sonali. It's great to be here.
So first, of course, this just the fact that the film is set in Uganda, features an all-black cast, right away makes it different from previous Disney films. The only film that comes to mind, and I'm not a Disney expert, is Lion King, which was the animated film from many years ago. And those who voiced the characters were not all-black, but it was set in on the African continent. How, on the basis of it being set in Uganda and having an all-black cast, how much of a departure is this film for Disney?
Well, I really think with this film, Disney is trying new things. They have really broken a lot of their own rules. So Lion King is kind of the basis of the types of representation we get in the West. We don't even get images of people. We have this idea that Africa is one country and it's just filled with open spaces and giraffes and lions who sometimes sing. So it's a really big deal that they have paid attention to a local neighborhood actually within Uganda. So it's not just Africa. It's very clear that this is taking place in Uganda in a specific neighborhood called Katwe. And so a Disney executive who's from Uganda read an article about the main character that was later turned into a biography and said, I want to make this film. And he approached Mirren to direct it, whose husband is from Uganda. So she has a home there. She spent a lot of time there. And then they cast an African cast. So lots of people didn't, like the kids in particular, didn't even speak English. They had to learn English for this, you know, this film. And so there's lots of like local things taking place, and it kind of interrupts the usual exotification of the continent that usually happens.
So that's one of the pluses. The other plus, it seems, of course, is that at the center of the film is a young girl and her mother, who is played by Lupita Nyong'o. So to have a woman-centered film is also quite interesting.
Yeah, it actually pushes the boundaries, which was quite shocking in some ways. So the main character, her name is Fiona, and she's played by a local girl from Katwe who had never acted before. She was cast from a dance class, actually, they found her. And so she doesn't know how to read or write. She has to hustle, you know, she walks miles every day to get water. I mean, the poverty that she and her family faces is really extreme. And then one day she follows her brother into what ends up being a dilapidated church, and a man teaches them how to play chess. But he quickly realizes that she's a prodigy. So even though she doesn't know how to read and write, she can see like 8 steps ahead on the chessboard. And then when she wins her first competition, there's a female ambassador who gives the award, and she says that aggressiveness in this type of girl, or aggressiveness in a girl, is a treasure. And I said to my friend, is a what? And she said, a treasure. It was like, I didn't even hear it correctly, you know? So to push against the boundaries of what girls are supposed to be and actually to value aggressiveness was quite amazing. There's no You know, it's not a princess tale. She's not aspiring to be beautiful or a princess. It's actually like her figuring out how to survive, how to lead her family, and how to develop this skill playing chess on an international stage.
So let's watch a clip of the trailer. This is Queen of Katwe, and we are reviewing it with our correspondent and film critic, Stephanie Abraham. Here is an excerpt from the trailer of the new Disney film.
Things from such a small place.
Don't think about such things.
Why not?
You would be disappointed.
Hey Fiona, how is your life?
It is fine.
Young girl, come inside. What is your name?
Fiona.
Could you please show Fiona how to move the pieces?
The small one can become the big one.
In chess, the small one can become the big one. And that is an excerpt of the trailer of the new Disney film, Queen of Katwe. And we're reviewing it with our pop culture correspondent and film critic, Stephanie Abraham. Stephanie, you've seen the film. I haven't. But what I gathered from the trailer was that this follows, you know, while Disney's clearly breaking some very important of its own rules and very important stereotypes, it seems to fit very much within this standard theme and formula of one person from a small place being able to make it big through sheer talent and hard work. Anybody can defy the odds, lift themselves out of poverty. These individual stories of inspiring success that fit very much within the American ideal of, you know, capitalism and the myth of a meritocracy. Did you get that from watching the whole film, or is the trailer simply sort of cast in that way?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it is sports. It's a sports feel-good film. And so there are lots of platitudes. There's lots of feel-good. It's a feel-good movie. And so it is Disney.
And you say sports because chess is considered a sport. I mean, on the international arena, it's actually considered a sport.
That's right. And so chess tournaments internationally are considered, you know, big sports deals. So that's why this story was even brought to light, because the ESPN reporter wrote an essay about it, and it actually received an award. It later became a book. And that's how, you know, it kind of got pushed into this international stage. But I think she, you know, within the confines of it being a Disney feel good film, they have tried to push the boundaries of like everybody can pull, you know, just the bootstrap story. So for example, Fiona goes to Russia on this international tournament, and she stays in a hotel. She sleeps in a bed for the first time. She has fresh water. She gets to order off of a menu 3 times a day and eat at a buffet. Like, she was just like, I'm in heaven. There's a really funny moment where the kids are eating ketchup, and they're like, ketchup is the best thing in the world, which kind of gets at what this thing you're talking about of like Westernization is, you know, the ultimate goal. I mean, there definitely is a goal of, if people could go to university, then they will make it, you know? But once Fiona gets back from that trip, her mother says, well, I know they didn't have mama's cooking there. And she gives her a bowl of her home-cooked food, and Fiona doesn't want to eat it. And then there's kind of like this process where Fiona's rejecting her family. But ultimately, there's kind of a tension of like, how do you go for who you want to be and not leave your family and where you came from behind, which I feel like isn't even a struggle that's usually in stories.
Right.
And they do put attention on that.
So that clash, a personal clash that one faces when one has to reconcile one's own world and the world out there. What about Uganda as a whole? I mean, this is a country with obviously a complex history, a complex political context. She's not just a single individual devoid of that backdrop. Does the backdrop that the film is set in receive much or enough attention?
Well, it's very clear. I mean, it was filmed in Katwe, and so it's clear that there's lots of poverty. It's described, you know, reporters have called it like one of the poorest areas of Uganda. There's trash everywhere. There's pigs that are eating the trash. When she first goes into the school, the kids make fun of her because she smells so bad. So, you know, that is there. I mean, apparently prostitution, drugs, and gangs are really bad within the neighborhood. They do kind of touch on that, but hardly at all. Her older sister gets courted by an older man. And then, you know, it doesn't go so well in the end. And so one thing that I think is unique about this story is that it kind of makes fun of itself. So there's lots of sports metaphors in it, like that thing of like the small piece becomes the big piece. And that's why that little girl loves it. So one of the things the coach always says is think, make a plan, and execute it. And so there's a really beautiful monologue where she walks to her coach's house and she sits down on the couch and says, "I made a plan, coach, against the floods, and the water didn't care." And that's because they lose everything in this flood, which is a common problem for people in Katwe. So it does like address the environmental problems that people face. Actually, people sleep in hammocks really close to the ceiling so that they don't get swept away in the floods. And so she addresses like your sports metaphors can really only go so far in the conditions that we live in. And then she says, "Look what happened to my sister. Soon the men will come for me." And I was just flabbergasted that they would even address kind of the sexism and sexual exploitation that young women experience and a young woman in a poor environment in Katwe, for example, as we watched with her sister. Hmm. So in those ways, I thought it was a pretty big deal considering this is a family film.
Hmm. What about Uganda's political violence, its HIV epidemic? Did those ever enter into the film?
Yeah, so that I'm glad you brought that up. So they only mentioned the word war in one sentence. And I think it was when the coach's wife says to him, she's trying to calm him down because he's kind of upset. And she goes, there's no more war now. Or he says, the war is over. Something like that. And it was just like, that kind of seems off given how much war has impacted this country. And I get that like they're trying to tell a different story so that we don't only know Uganda for its war history and experience, but to not address it at all seemed a little off. And then Fiona's father has passed away in the story and we don't know why. She also lost an older sibling who has died. And we hear about it like maybe three times, but we never know why he died. It wasn't until afterward when I read that ESPN article that I learned that he died of HIV. And that in fact, her mother and she have never been tested, but fear that they have it. And a statistic as recent as last year shows that in Uganda, the adults from 15 to 50, 7% of the population are HIV positive. Hmm. So I'm not sure why, you know, maybe they felt like they were pushing the boundaries in so many ways that they couldn't add HIV or AIDS right to the discussion. But I think it's an interesting choice. And, you know, I'm hoping that this sets a platform for new representations that can come out and that, you know, with each new film, those types of topics will become less risque.
Right. And then you mentioned the ESPN article. This was an article a few years ago about the real life Fiona Mutesi, the chess champion who exists, and her chess teacher, Richard Katende, who is, you know, these are two
Robert.
Real, Robert, I'm sorry, Katende, who these are two real life people who exist. And I understand are involved in the promotion of the film, have been giving interviews. So the film has actually even cast some attention to these two real life people. And I want to bring up in the last few minutes, Stephanie, of this idea that we started with, which is that Disney is breaking its own rules, maybe because they're realizing, like maybe other studios are now starting to realize, that for a Hollywood film to look like most of the rest of the world can be lucrative. And the controversy that we've seen over the last few years with the Oscar awards, with the hashtag #OscarsSoWhite, even though actors like Lupita Nyong'o, who won Oscar for her role in 12 Years a Slave, David Oyelowo, who was nominated for but didn't win in his role as MLK and Selma. Even though these are the exceptions within the Academy, we are now seeing them be cast front and center in films like this. So do you think that with this film, Disney sort of trying it out, trying to see if a cast of all people of color, a director who's a woman of color, with her Ugandan husband set in another country, if this film can do well, then maybe Disney will expand its future films to encompass the rest of the world?
I think they are trying it out. So this film had a soft, what's called a soft opening. So it opened in 50 cities across the country. It actually started in Toronto, so that was in Canada, but then in the U.S. It only opened to 300,000 this last weekend, which isn't very high. So they're hoping that they'll get a lot of press this week, and when it opens across the country this upcoming weekend, that, you know, it'll do better. You know, there aren't any white people in this film. They don't even have any speaking roles. The only white people who are there are the competitors that Fiona faces in Russia. And I mean, that it's actually kind of a relief to see a story about Ugandans in, about Black Ugandans in Uganda. And the film is actually really beautifully shot too. I do want to include that. Like, Marinara is amazing. Like, just the use of color, the close-ups, it's really phenomenal. Hmm. And I think Lupita has been amazing in terms of using the microphone for bringing awareness to the issues. She's talked about kind of the internalized racism she's faced, you know, wishing she could wake up with, she used to pray that she could wake up with lighter skin. And the cover of Vogue, she's on the cover of Vogue right now. And the quote they're using is, "I want to create more opportunities for people of color." So, I mean, I think that's really amazing. And the Vogue article actually ends with her talking about wanting to star as Asada Shakur, who is a,
wow,
a former Black Panther who's in exile in Cuba, who the FBI still, you know, wants to capture. And so that Vogue, such a mainstream kind of beauty magazine, is talking about Asada Shakur as a possibility for what we might see in a major film, is, I think, nothing we've ever seen before.
Well, Stephanie, if Lupita indeed does star as Asada in a major film, you have to be the one to critique it on our show. I want to thank you so much for joining us. I understand your review of this film will be published, your written review will be published in Bitch Magazine.
That's right. It's going to be in the print magazine, because print is still alive. It'll be on newsstands in December.
And so our audience can look for that. Stephanie, thank you as always for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Sonali.
Stephanie Abraham is a writer and media critic. She helped to found the feminist magazine's Makeshift, was also the founding editor of the magazine Loudmouth. She is a pop culture correspondent and film critic for Rising Up with Sonali. You can find her forthcoming review of Queen of Katwe in the next issue of Bitch Magazine. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com and on Twitter at twitter.com/RUWithSonali.